An R-22 crash came during auto rotation practice. Gulfstream is forging ahead with a big new G650. And a new Turkish military helicopter is on time and on budget. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. It's now officially the fourth quarter, and if you work for the U.S. federal government, Happy New Year 2010. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, October 1st, 2009. The fiery crash of a Robinson R-22 near Forest Grove, Oregon on September 20th turns out to have happened during a student's auto rotation practice. The National Transportation Safety Board is out with a preliminary report on the accident, which killed a student and his instructor. The R-22 was operated by Hillsboro Aviation. The student was reportedly preparing for a check ride for a CFI helicopter certificate and had completed several successful practice auto rotations with power recovery before the one that ended fatally for both men. An FAA inspector examined the wreckage and noted that the helicopter was upright and there were no ground scars leading to the wreckage. The skids were spread outward and the main rotor blades were bent upward about 18 inches from the hub. About 7,000 onlookers watched Gulfstream roll out its new flagship business jet, the G650, at company headquarters in Savannah, Georgia on Tuesday. Notably, the plane rolled out to the viewing area under its own power. The company maintains the ultra-large cabin, ultra-long-range G650 remains on schedule for customer deliveries starting in 2012. Gulfstream Executive VP Joe Lombardo commented, quote, "We've all been looking forward to this day since we officially announced the G650 program last year. Simply put, the Gulfstream G650 is in a class by itself. I want to thank everyone who made this aircraft possible. I share the tremendous amount of pride you have for this significant piece of aviation history. Like you, I am eagerly awaiting the first flight later this year," unquote. The 650 boasts impressive specs, including a range of 7,000 nautical miles at 0.85 Mach, and a maximum operating speed of 0.925 Mach, which will make it the fastest civil aircraft flying. It can also climb to 51,000 feet. The cabin measures 102 inches wide and 77 inches high. That's the largest purpose-built cabin in business aviation, and it can be configured to seat 11 to 18 passengers. The ATAC team, made up of Turkish Aerospace Industries, Aselsan, and Augusta Westland, reports the successful maiden flight of the first T-129 prototype during an official ceremony held at Augusta Westland facilities in Italy. The ATAC program was designed to provide up to 91 attack and tactical reconnaissance helicopters to the Turkish Land Forces Command, with integration of high-tech avionics, hardware, and software developed locally. The program is said to be running on time and on budget. Muraham Dortkasli, general manager of TAI, says the T-129 will become the most advanced helicopter in its category, making it very appealing to both Turkish forces and the international market. Quote, "It's been a long journey for us to come to this point. We are proud of the success the ATAC team has generated, a success which I am sure will be followed by many others," unquote. Up next on ANN, the NTSB says the FAA could be doing more about bird strikes. Laser attacks on pilots are on the rise. And the U.S. Senate now has a general aviation caucus. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4 for Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 1st. I'm Paul Plack. The NTSB has issued a list of recommendations for changes in federal air regulations that it says will enhance bird strike prevention. Specifically, the board wants the FAA to verify that all federally obligated general aviation airports located near woodlands, water, wetlands, or other wildlife attractants, are complying with the requirements to perform wildlife hazard assessments. In other words, the board essentially wants to transform the policy from an advisory circular to a hard regulation. Other suggestions include standardizing protection from in-flight impacts across certification standards for all Part 25 airplanes, and mandating strike reporting for all airports covered by Part 139, and all aircraft operators under Parts 121, 135, and 91 Subpart K. The board is also proposing changes it says will increase charter safety. NTSB wants Part 91.23 to include all turbine airplanes in truth in leasing requirements, and new boxes on flight plans which require both identification of the operator and specificity of which operating rules are governing the flight. The board wants the FAA to figure out why it missed non-compliant fixed-wing operations by interstate helicopters, including a flight using a Citation 500 that killed five people when it crashed in March of 2008, and make appropriate corrections. And finally, NTSB wants more stringent procedures for checking cockpit voice recorders, including a test before the first flight of each day. Find more detail on new NTSB proposals in the text version of this story, dated September 30th, at aero-news.net. An FAA database shows that lasers were directed at aircraft cockpits over 900 times in 2008, and pilots have occasionally been temporarily blinded. The Boston Globe reports that in some cases, pilots have reported having to abort landings or turn over the aircraft to a pilot who's not incapacitated. FAA's Laura Brown told the paper that so far, there have been no accidents or injuries reported as a result of laser incidents, but, quote, "The message is, do not shine laser lights at airplanes. You face federal prosecution and time in jail if you're caught doing this," unquote. The FAA's Ian Greger says laser incidents have been on the rise this year, with over 730 reported through July. He says some of the perps have been intoxicated, some are teenagers, and some amateur astronomers may accidentally hit an aircraft while using lasers to aim their telescopes. Quote, "I don't know whether people who engage in this kind of irresponsible behavior are ignorant or malicious or both. People have been arrested all over the country for shining lasers at aircraft," unquote. Back in April, several members of the U.S. House of Representatives formed a bipartisan General Aviation Caucus to inform other House members of the value of GA to the economy and the nation. Now there's a corresponding caucus forming in the Senate. Members include Democrat Mark Begich of Alaska and Republicans Mike Johanns of Nebraska, Pat Roberts and Sam Boback of Kansas, and James Inhofe of Oklahoma. National Business Aviation Association President Ed Boland was quick to applaud. Quote, "We look forward to working with everyone involved with the caucus to promote policies that help all general aviation continue to provide value in every state across the country," unquote. General Aviation Manufacturers Association President Pete Bunce concurs. Quote, "As an industry that contributes more than $150 billion to the U.S. economy annually and supports more than 1.2 million American jobs, general aviation is a significant part of our transportation system, and this caucus will provide an excellent forum to bring members and staff together," unquote. Still ahead, Hawker Beechcraft is now selling ProLine 21 upgrades for the 1900D. Atlantis Airport wants the freedom to raise passenger facility fees. And your holiday airline ticket just got more expensive. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wass GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're going to fly in the soup, you got to have an opener. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, October 1st. I'm Paul Platt. The venerable Beechcraft 1900D turboprop can now be scheduled for an upgrade to Rockwell Collins ProLine 21 avionics. Hawker Beechcraft Services says it's now taking pre-orders for the installation, expected to be available in the third quarter of next year. The system reduces aircraft weight and comes with a two-year warranty. Christy Tannehill, VP of Global Customer Service and Support, commented, quote, "Driven by operator input, the system was designed with an emphasis on improving reliability and lowering operating costs," unquote. ProLine's integrated display system will interface with common WAS and LPV-compliant flight management systems. Other interface options for the 1900D include Rockwell Collins Integrated Flight Information System, APS-65 Autopilot, and third-party TCAS, TAWS, and lightning detection systems. Passengers at Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport already pay the legal maximum of $4.50 per ticket in passenger facility charges, but airport manager Ben DaCosta is calling on Congress to raise that ceiling to $7.50, with an opportunity for further increases later. Quote, "It would enable us to make sure that we have a very strong and stable source of funding, and that will ensure that our credit ratings are up," unquote. Atlanta has a new international terminal under construction and other projects on the drawing board. Passenger facility fees are a primary funding source for such capital improvements. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports that the airport board has delayed issuing $800 million in bonds due to difficult economic conditions. Air Transport Association spokesman David Castlevetter told the paper airlines oppose the increase. Quote, "Not only is it not needed, it's an inopportune time to further tax passengers when they can ill afford to fly as it is," unquote. Gee, $7.50 is a lot less than the new fees to check bags. It apparently wasn't an inopportune time to impose those fees. And finally, in a related instance of the pot calling the kettle black, Delta Airlines has joined American and United in tacking a $10 holiday travel surcharge onto tickets purchased for travel on November 29th, January 2nd, and January 3rd. Those dates normally see a large surge in the number of travelers returning from holiday visits. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports that the surcharges must be included in online advertisements of base ticket prices. AirTran announced over the weekend it would not be matching those surcharges for holiday travel. If you ask the airlines how they can tack on all these added fees during a recession, they'll probably tell you that's just what it costs to fly. Apparently, that reasoning isn't good enough for the airports they expect to serve their needs. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Wichita, Kansas Mayor Carl Brewer, Leroy Watson of the National Grange, and Henry Ogrodzinski, president of the National Association of State Aviation Officials, rebut the recent trashing of general aviation by politicians and the press. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.